And I speak in the words of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For me, last week started with a read-through of this morning's gospel passage. It seemed to me like a good practical piece of advice for wedding guests and dinner party guests, especially if there is no helpful seating plan. I thought, well, at last, a straightforward passage of scripture that's easy to understand and apply to our lives. A top tip for avoiding social embarrassment. But then I looked a little closer and I thought, hang on a minute. Luke says this is a parable, so it's got to have another, deeper meaning as well. And how does it connect with the man who has dropsy, painful, swollen joints? I put the Bible down and went and did something else. But Friday came around and I just had to sit down and write a sermon. Now, Jesus was a guest at a meal at one of the chief Pharisees' houses. Jesus wasn't at all proud. He ate with Pharisees, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, anyone. But imagine what eating with Pharisees must have been like. Your conduct and your speech watch like a hawk for any sign of irregularity, exposing your law-breaking and any consequent slip in your purity. And all this especially so at a meal on the Sabbath day. Life with the Pharisees was a competition for the most brownie points in the sight of God. It was a purity pecking order of the fiercest kind among people who saw themselves as superior to everyone else in the sight of God. So imagine Jesus healing a man with dropsy on this day was a major issue for them, a major infringement of the commandment to do no work on the Sabbath. Jesus deftly exposes their hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. He justifies his action of healing by appealing to their own behaviour if they have an ox or an ass that falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Their zeal for outward shows of law-keeping was all about outward appearances, jockeying for position in the eyes of God, looking good amongst others, and nothing at all to do with doing justly, or loving mercy, or walking humbly with God. And here, I think, is the link to the parable. It's not so much good advice about social etiquette, but about wisdom, the wisdom of having true humility. If I think that I have a favoured place at the table before God because my actions deserve it, what I'm really saying is I don't need God's grace, I don't need God's love, I don't need God's mercy. And, no doubt the Pharisees would say, if you don't deserve a place, then you shouldn't have one. The truth is, though, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us deserves a place. We're all 100% dependent on God's grace, on God's generosity to us in Jesus Christ. And we can never, ever pay him back, and we can never earn our place. Perhaps this dinner party made it to Luke's gospel because the early church also suffered from bouts of elitism, something that we all must guard against. And this incident reminds us of the topsy-turvy nature of God's kingdom. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He puts down the mighty from their seat and exalts the humble and meek. And we'll do well, I think, to heed Paul's words from this morning's epistle, to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And of course, that includes not heading straight for the top table at dinner. Amen.